Alrighty. Romans 12.
Bible's prayer.
Yeah, as of yesterday, he was doing pretty good. They removed a nodule on his neck, sort of down here, to do a biopsy on it. He won't have the results till today. Today's Thursday, right? But the big thing was, the doctor had said on his chart that he can get the breathing treatment, the nebulizer, every 4 hours. But he forgot, all he had to do was ask, but he forgot that they had said that, and so he's been, didn't have breathing treatments all this time. So now we change the order so it's, he has them every 4 hours. So he should be feeling a lot better. The congestion and all that in his lungs is all breaking up, so he's feeling a lot better.
Can he cough now?
Yeah.
His color is better.
Oh, you went to see him?
Yeah.
Good.
Because he and I had a nap. He started falling asleep and I joined him.
So you took a nap with him?
Yes.
Candlelight
dinner and
happy with her. All right. What? Where are we? Romans 12. We spent a lot of time yesterday on continuing instant in prayer. That's all we talked about, right? Yeah. And So now we're in verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Distributing is an interesting word. It's where we get the word fellowship or communion. It's koinoneo. It's enter into fellowship, make one a share or partner with. And so the critical issue here is with regard to necessity, it just means it's one of these words that means business or need. So when it says distributing to the necessity of the saints, what that means is someone else can't have a need without it being your need. And that's not a rule, it's a what is in this environment. I mean, because that's who he is. So the idea is I can't have a need because the body will fill that need if it's operating right. I've often said what is a legitimate church? Well, in another place that we'll study in a little bit, it says that if one suffers, if one rejoices, all rejoice. If one suffers, all suffer. And so herein, it's the same kind of thought, but it is based, it's now saying you are a sharer in whatever the business or the need is. So there can't be a need because the need must first be met in the body. And then the body can't have a need because of God. But the perceived need that any individual has is if the body doesn't meet that need, then God can't. That's the rule. I mean, that's the biggie. Because God is expecting the body to meet the need of any individual with whatever resources we have available. If we don't do that, then God closes the door. It's almost the same kind of thing as he can't forgive you unless you forgive everything. Well, he can't meet a need that you have if the body hasn't expended the resources to meet the need. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
It's a biggie. And that's why the bottom line, or from the beginning of the church, the essence was that everything was in the Seder group, in the minyan. So it started out in the minyan, then it was extended to the neighbor, and then the need then is it. You can never have professionals in the body of Christ, because the system is the need in the Seder, and then the companion Seder, and then to God. But the need must, you know, we had to have had a tendency for years, if there was a need, you call one of the Levites. If you need this or that, or if you need to drive this way, or you need a ride, or it can't work that way. That is a violation of the mystery of God. It has to be first met in this, at least it tries to be met in the Seder group. So when it says distributing to the necessity of the saints, it's a huge deal. Everybody understand? So, you know, now what again, don't call Jeff or Pete if you need something. You go to your Seder group first. Anybody see the importance of this? Everybody's looking like, well, what does that mean? That didn't mean anything.
I see the importance of it.
Yeah, I know you do. I'm sure Jeff would agree if he were here. Well, the tendency is to call John Bojo or call Pete or call Jeff. That's not the way it works, because then you defer to professionals. So, well, I use that term loosely, but
I think it would be flatter. But does that mean I have to wait till Sunday for the light bulb?
No, we can do that. I mean, this is the way a body has to work. If it's a body, if it's a church. What? You were going to say something and I interrupted you.
Yeah, it's the idea that weakness is what draws us together.
And right.
Need is just a point of weakness. Without need, without that, we just are independent islands.
Right.
Saying, I love Jesus.
All righty. Again, remember, the religion that you have outwardly is meaningless. It's the religion that you have internally. And that is the only thing God sees. And if you resent it, then you have to say that. I mean, you have to be whatever it is that comes out. Otherwise, exhortation can't happen, because you just, again, as you're an independent island that is sitting back, resenting, or this, or somebody should have done that, or then the next step of that is then you start tail-bearing, and then pretty soon everything is... And we've seen that a few times, haven't we? All right, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. And again, this is an example of this in the broader sense. Now he's writing to the Romans, to the church he's writing to the church in Corinth. And so in verse 1 he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Chapter 16, verse 1. Your Bible is as big as an encyclopedia.
Can you see it from over here?
You can read it from here.
Okay, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if I be met, and if it be meet that I go, also they shall go with me. Now, you notice something, that he's not asking for money in the name of God. Because the Didache said, if anyone comes to you in the name of God asking for money, shun him, he's a false apostle. And just think of that elegance of that statement if it was applied to today's churches. So here we have a situation in which the church in Galatia, the church in Rome, and the church in Corinth were aware of the somewhat of a famine in Jerusalem. And so they all got together at Paul's exhortation to meet that need. All right? Given to hospitality. This is a biggie. Given is dioko, and it means to run swiftly towards or away from something. It means to give. You go do it instantly. Or you withdraw instantly. Hospitality is philoxena, but it means fondness or affection for strangers, people you have never met.
Philoxen?
Oh, I was wondering what you were doing.
I couldn't find Romans.
You couldn't find Romans?
You left us in Corinthians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Given to hospitality, fondness for affection for strangers. What it means is that you will automatically seek opportunity to be generous to strangers. And it totally destroys this insular crap that happens. You know, like the great example is this during Katrina, you've heard me say this, but it's extremely appropriate here, that this guy owned the apartment house over in Gaston Avenue, and he called and said he wanted to make 7 units available for the Katrina victims, that he would furnish, their church would furnish clothing and furniture and everything. All they had to do is agree to stay in each apartment. The family had to stay in each unit for at least 5 months. No cost, no charge. And they got clothes and furniture and food and everything. And just before, and we were looking for people to put in there.
We had
them ready to go.
And you read the fine print.
No, and then he called me back and said, and by the way, would you please have each of these, before they move in, have each of them say that they were Christians and the name of the church they went to in Louisiana.
Oh my God.
Because we need to take care of our own. I got so furious I couldn't even speak. And I just said, somebody will call you back. And so I had John call him back and nicely refuse instead of me screaming at him. But that's the attitude that automatically develops. It develops here.
But there's a scriptural reference that they use.
Oh, of course. There's a scriptural reference to prove anything.
But, yeah.
But it misses the whole idea of given to hospitality and what hospitality means. So everybody understand this. It's something that should be as natural as breathing. Hospitality isn't an option, it's a what is if you're a believer.
Yeah, it's like denying Christ is in someone if they don't.
No, it's not even our business. No. All right, go to 1 Timothy. I don't know yet. Well, it's here. It's the qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, you got to understand. For us, bishop means like one of the somebody that's over 60 jillion things or something. Bishop just means one that's over more than one seder, more than one house church. But anyway, it says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. So the whole idea of you must be given to hospitality. Why? Because that is the evidence that you believe. Who's that? Somebody just drove in your driveway. Anyway. All right, now we get another one. Given to hospitality, and now I'm got to go back to Romans. I got to remind myself. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. In Greek, there are two words for bless.
It's
Debbie's
Kelly.
Huh?
Debbie's Kelly.
Bless is it, here. It's eulogio, and it means to speak well of or to praise. It's in the present. There, it's in what's called the present imperative tense. Therefore, it's something you continually do. If someone has done something to you, whether they're right or wrong, the evidence of being in this in the environment, the location of sphere, is that you speak well of them. Now, this is probably the most difficult one. The most difficult or the most telling of spiritual understanding. I can't tell you how. You know, we've experienced some. Especially me, I've people speaking ill of me. And then I've heard other people sort of dismiss them and give a reason. And we can't do that. You have to speak well of them. Now, how can you do that? Well, it's an act of grace. You can't. Everything in you wants to speak ill of somebody if they've persecuted you or done something that you think is wrong. But if you do, and if you see someone doing it, you've got to remind them of this. It's not necessarily, it doesn't mean they're evil or something, it means they're still acting as a child. Still being carnal. What? You're thinking of something. Why do you share it with
the
class?
I'm the poster child for this verse.
What?
I'm the poster child for this verse.
Well, you don't want to do that.
Well, of course I don't want to do it.
But we have to exhort one another because speaking that way, if you speak... If you're not speaking well, then you are taking yourself off the mercy seat.
It's separation.
You know, you talk about, was it mercy is the hot fire?
The mercy is the only fire hot enough to melt the molten images.
this is the same thing. When you speak ill of someone and then find out they're speaking well of you, you melt. You just go to pieces.
Well, you may or may not melt. That's not your business. The point of it is that this, your business, it's like forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't an option. It's a command. That you forgive everyone, everything, every situation from the heart. If you don't, God can't forgive you. That's a pretty big stick. And the same is true here. Now, the shocking thing to me personally was I could tell you story after story I always got even. I always, you know, more than even. And when all this came down with Doug and Wendy, there was not a slightest inclination in me to speak ill of them or to defend myself. Now, that shocked me. Now, that has no merit in me. I mean, it has nothing about me because it shocked me as much as it would anybody else.
Yeah, all these advices or admonitions of how we should act, you know, it's the normal activity of the body, it's the normal Christian life, but it's not something that we can do.
That's right.
It's totally done by God.
Yeah. Right. It's an act of grace, but you have to repent because you can. Do you know how much you can feed off speaking ill of someone? Especially if you start together. Pretty soon you have a bunch of hyenas eating a dead body.
Totally.
Bless them, eulogize, you speak well of them that curse you. It's that means to speak down about, to imprecate evil on, to it goes on. You can and the verb tense here in the Greek, it means that these guys were doing that, and it's not just that you shouldn't do it. Stop doing it immediately. Because it is the thing that is destroying you and making you of no value to God. And this is the same, you've heard me speak about it for years, about tale-bearing, about gossip, and speaking about somebody if that person isn't present, except that Harry is an exception.
Brilliant.
And curse here does not mean profanity, but it means you're calling down some kind of evil upon them. You know, I mean, it's in the Bible, curse doesn't mean profanity. It means this. It's always, anyway, that's another story. But this bless is I can't even pronounce it. Eulogio, and it means to speak well of, to praise. Now you'll find that for each of us, some things you find some of this kind of stuff. It's your nature to do that. But for others, it is like, ew, this is really bad. Like for Mr. Bojo, his nature is to speak well of. And it drives him crazy if he hears someone speaking ill of. For me, and I think, I mean, for Gary, obviously, especially with attorneys, you know, you just want to crush them. And so it's something that we must exhort one another if we see it happening. It cannot be permitted. You have to talk about it. You have to come back to this. Well, that's taking you off the mercy seat. Everybody understand this? Now, the normal word in Greek and in the Hebrew, the meaning in Hebrew, bless, you know, like in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor and blessed are they that mourn. There, the word is makarios, and in Hebrew, the similar word is barak. And so, in those cases, you know, they say happy or something in these idiot translations. But the root word goes back, in both cases, goes back to the word blessed means not subject to the fates. Remember, the fates were the impish little beings that messed with you in Greek mythology and others. But the point of blessed in both Hebrew and that the word makarios in Greek and barak in Hebrew was that you're not subject to the fates. And the only way you cannot be subject to the fates is that you're dead. So we're back to this issue. You can't be in your name and Jesus' name at the same time. And which name you're in defines what all his action is.
Makarios is Greek and Barak is
Hebrew.
And it means not subject to the fates.
That's a core meaning. But it's always translated as happy or, you know, some goofy thing. Did you ever hear that whole thing about Jefferson and Madison and their arguments about the Constitution? Jefferson put in there life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Madison wanted to put life, liberty, and the pursuit of virtue. And it was a huge argument back in the day, if they say. Because happiness is goofy. I mean, that excuses everything. It's an appeal to the basest of the senses. But virtue, in terms of its spiritual meaning, is an incredible pursuit. So, when the word the meaning of the word bless in the New Testament becomes happy, and then you have Joel Osteen for your preacher. Smile a lot or something instead of spam a lot.
Spiritual narcissism.
But it's these words that we just put our own meanings to when we hear them. That's why this long-term deal I did and the word studies and everything was so important, because it elevated, like, bless into something that it's unbelievably important, not subject to the fates. And it challenged me to no end about this, the other meaning. You speak well of, you know, somebody that's messing with you. And so anyway, that's probably enough. I don't feel like talking. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Says, you know,
first novel convictions. Mr. Santa, any expansions? Anybody else convicted?
Father, forgive me.
What?
Father, forgive me.
Leave you behind. Not just your behind, but all of you. Take it, big guy. What did he say?
You can't talk about
it anymore. Yeah, you're in.